All right, today we want to look at Jesus to understand more fully that he's our rock, he's our foundation, he's the strength of our life. Matthew 16, 12, then understood they, his disciples, how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees is the doctrine of religion, that man, by his own strength, by his own wisdom, by his own power, by his own capacity, is able to please God. That God can be pleased by man when he's a good man, when he does good, when he's at his best. That's the doctrine of religion. That's the doctrine of the Jewish teaching, is that man is capable of pleasing God by sacrifice and by behaving himself and not walking around in the flesh. When Jesus, however, came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man? Who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others, Elijah. Others, Jeremiah the prophet, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah of God, the Messiah of Israel. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are God's Son." Now, in the English language, it's not as strong or as intensive as it is in the original Greek language. In the original Greek language, it's more personal. Who are you? Who are you? And Peter answered and he said, "I know who you are. You are the Christ, the Messiah." Well, others had known that. But this is a revelation that came to him not by figuring it out, not by watching what he did or what he said, or seeing that being around him seemed to be like, you're the Messiah. But this one is a little different. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In the Greek it says, "Thou art the Messiah," or "the Messiah is you," actually. "The Messiah is you. You are the Son of God, of the living God." So in the Greek, it's divided into three parts. You are the Son, the of God Son. Not just any old Son, but the Son. The Son. When you put the definite article, it means, "and there is no other." So, ho Christos, you are the Son of the living God. Or in this case, huios, you are the Son of the living God, the one that's alive. In other words, there are other gods, but they're not alive. They're dead. And Jesus answered and said to him, and the word for answer is apokrithē. It means, as in a court of law, you would give an answer to what he just said. So he just confessed, "I know who you are. You're not just a man. You're not just a great man. You're not just a good guy. But you are, you're the Messiah. You're the one everyone's been waiting for. The guy, the one. The one that the Jews have been talking about all these centuries and centuries. You're the guy. But you're also not just the Messiah." King David was a Messiah. "But you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus then answered him and said, "Simon Barjona, Simon son of John." So if you're Barjona, bar means son, Jesus is son of God, but Simon is not. He's a son of John. So he's Simon Johnson. Simon Johnson. You are Simon Johnson, the son of John. In other words, you are flesh and blood. You are not born of my father. You are just Simon Johnson. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood, your dad, your flesh, flesh gives flesh, flesh borns flesh, has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, even though you are born of John, this is not your John earthly father talking, sharing something with you. So over here is man, good or bad, whatever man is like, under the law. This is man under the law. And so over here, man doing his best, and of course, Peter's Jewish, so we'll put the Jewish lampstand here to show the light of Israel. He knew, hey, you have to be good. You can't be bad, mean, nasty, perverted, sinful, wicked. So the Jewish people have religion. They have, you know, behave themselves. Try to be a good guy. Don't be a bad guy. And so all of that light, he said, did not reveal who I am. I'm not a lawgiver. I don't give commands to you that you have to keep. So over here, all you have is flesh and blood. This is as high as flesh and blood can get. Flesh and blood can't reveal who Jesus is. Flesh and blood can only reveal your guilt. It can't reveal anything beyond the fact that you're sinful. So the only thing flesh can show you is that you're not perfect, not acceptable to God, not perfect. So the light of God, this little light says something like this: be perfect. Do everything God said. Be like God. Be like God. Well, I can't. So flesh and blood didn't show you who I am. I'm not this. This is not my church. This Jewish church of the wilderness that started out there under Moses, Moses' church, Israel's church, but it's not mine. So Moses' Israel's natural man-made church. This is the church that is not of God. Even though God started it, what he said was, I want you to be holy. He said, I want you to be holy like I'm holy. I want everybody in my church in the Old Testament, I want all the Jewish people to be the only people on the earth that finally make me their God. So I want to have a holy people in a holy land under a holy law because I'm a holy God. Holy, 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 holy. So problem with that is that God was holy, the law was holy, the land was holy. It was the people that weren't holy. How many know that's a problem? So if the problem is with the holy people that they aren't holy because they aren't perfect, I mean, after all, God doesn't do the best you can. He is be perfect in every way. So the Jewish religion is worthless, absolutely worthless, because it couldn't perfect even one of their followers, including Moses, the guy that gave the law, had to get up the next day after he gave the law and said to the people, look, I'm just going to have to tell you something. God just told it to me. You Jewish people are going to come under the curse. You're never going to do this law. You are a stubborn and stiff-necked people. How many know that that's true of Jewish people? You are? Are you Jewish? In your heart, okay. But you are stubborn? That's pitiful. That's horrible. So the problem with religion is you don't have a tall enough ladder to get up. You can't get up there. You can be almost good. You can be kind of good, but you can't be perfect. That's the problem. And God calls that stiff neck because, you know, in other words, you don't want to bow to him. You know, you want to keep your neck up stiff. You know, I'm somebody. I'm me. I'm somebody. So how many are proud that you're not as bad as other people? I mean, thank God you're not as bad as some people are, right? You can look right up and down your aisle there and you can see, you know, thank God I'm not. So that law is so high, and I have to go over it over and over again, even though you've heard it 1,000 times, it still hasn't sunk in, that you are incapable of even doing anything, let alone being perfect. You can't even do one thing that pleases God. You are absolutely wicked, sinful, nasty, shallow, hypocritical, etc., etc., etc. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I'm actually probably better than most people. Actually, I am. That's great. The Bible has something to say about that. Man at his best state is altogether Nothing. I mean, when you've been at your best, better than everybody else. I mean, you really worked at it. Last week you were rotten, but this week, decent person. Doesn't help a thing. God says, man at his best state's altogether vanity. All your righteousness is a filthy rag to me. It's a stench in my nostrils. I would rather you be cold or hot, but I hate it because you're lukewarm. You say you love me, but I can tell your heart is far from me. So religion can't perfect anybody. Even though it's a revealed religion, God gave it to Moses, told him, tell him, you know, the other religions don't quite have it right. They think there's 50 gods or 1,000 gods or, you know, whatever. They're wrong. So he gave them the truth. Here's the whole truth. This is what I want. Follow these four commandments to worship me. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and so on. And then the other six commandments, love your neighbor as yourself. Now you got it all. No coveting, no stealing, no killing and so on. Okay, you got it. Now, that will please me. Well, no one has ever done it with all their heart. Nobody. Nobody. Even Moses hit the rock twice. What's wrong with that? Remember God said, hit the rock. So the guy goes up and he hits it. And then he decides, hit it again. And God didn't tell him to hit it twice. And so he just kind of made that up. Yeah, he hit it once, might as well hit it twice. Make sure you've done that, hitting it twice. The problem with that is that's like killing Jesus twice. The law can only kill Jesus once. So Moses broke the law. Double jeopardy. You cannot convict a man for the same sin twice. So the law is only able to kill you and then that's it. It can't kill you and then resurrect you and kill you again. Do you all see that? Let's say a guy is really bad and then they dig him up out of the grave and kill him again. I mean, that guy needs two deads. It's so bad. How many deserve two kills? You're so bad. How many are like me? I am. I'm like that. You are? I think you are. Yeah. I think you deserve two kills like me. You are also? Yeah, it's good. You're hard to kill, and then when you are killed, you try to jump up again. So you have to be killed again and again and again until you don't come up. You're like the Terminator guy or whatever. All right. God wants you to know that you don't have anything decent in you. You have nothing good going for you. You are wicked and nasty. Let's say that. I am wicked. I am nasty. Don't you feel better for telling the truth? Don't you feel better because you've tried so hard to be good and decent and kind and, you know, someone that people could look up to? Well, you're not good enough. That's just fakery. That's pure play acting. You just, you know. Or here's another thing that some of you are not good enough to be perfect, but you are like this. Yeah, but when I sin, I feel bad about it. Ah, now there's a good thing. Because you sinned and the guy next to you sinned and he didn't feel bad about it, but you felt bad about it. That's better. No, God doesn't count that either. That's just play acting. I mean, it's almost like this. Oh, God, I can't believe I did that. Oh, geez, what a bum I am. God, forgive me. Now, that looks so sincere. Total play acting. Because you would imagine that guy won't ever do that again. He will. That's just play acting. Oh, I can't believe what I did to my wife tonight. I was such a jerk. You know, that doesn't mean anything. That's just pure play acting. I mean, when people say they won't do it again, they will. If they don't do it outwardly, they do it inwardly. It doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't just judge the outward deed, the manifestation. He judges the inward heart. He wants to know if you love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. So that is a bad deal. So Peter is, he comes up with this thing. I know who you are. You're this guy here, not this guy here. And Jesus says to him over here, you know what, Peter? Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. The law, the natural man, flesh at its best. You can't know anything through the light of religion. Your light is not the true light. Your church is not the true church. This is not the foundation of God's church. This is. So what is this foundation? This foundation over here is mercy. And after you've sinned, after you've proven yourself wicked, evil, nasty, there's mercy for you. And if you believe that, that's called faith. And that is called justification. And if you're justified, then you need to be sanctified so that you can be glorified. So now I got all of it. And now I did all these good things. Nope. This was all faith, not in you, but faith in him. It wasn't faith that you could do this and you could do this and you could do this. That's over here. This is you at your best. At your best, at your highest, at your greatest. All your righteousness, a filthy rag, it's a stench to God. He hates it. When he smells that, he goes, ugh, I hate that. Because man did it. I want something that I did. So over here, Jesus does it all, and his mercy forgives you for doing this kind of junky stuff. And he says, this is all I've ever wanted. I wanted you to believe that all your righteousness was in Jesus. So when Jesus goes to the Father, that's your righteousness. And it's just a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't appreciate it. You can't do anything with it because you don't have anything. You don't have anything in you that can do that. Are you aware of that? There's nothing you can do to please God. Nothing. Everything you do doesn't please God. Everything you do doesn't please God. You might think, well, I don't know if I did it, but I wanted to do it. No, that doesn't please God because you didn't want to do it. No, I really did. You don't even know what he wants. No, I knew what he wanted. No, you don't. No man even knows what he wants. Well, he said so in his word up there. I know. I don't care what he said. I know he said, be perfect. Did you do that? No, but at least I knew it. Okay. So you think if you know something, then you'll want to do it. And if you think if you want to do it, you'll be able to do it. Three lies right there. First of all, no man knows what's good because only God is good and you're not good. So if only God is good and you're not good, then no one is good. And if no one is good, then only God is good. So if no person is good and only God is good, well, that kind of limits it from me being good because I'm not God. So when Peter said, I know who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the guy that comes out of heaven. Not us. We came from dirt. How many know you were born from dirt? You're dirt people. How many know that you're dirt people? You might have fancy dirt or regular dirt, but you're dirt. In the end, it doesn't matter. Put a little paint on it. That doesn't help it. It's just a cover. That's just fake. Now, God doesn't want you to suppress your flesh. Most of you suppress your flesh, you know, especially when you're in church. You hold it back. But as soon as you get out, now a few of you actually express it right here. I can see it. But a few of you express it. But whether you express it or suppress it or repress it, you didn't crucify it. It's not dead. It's still there. You just covered it or didn't express it. You just didn't let it out. But as soon as you get outside the door, it comes out. Right? Do you all understand? I mean, you're just waiting for the occasion, for someone to give you the occasion to justify the anger that you had in you. So it's kind of like you look around for situations where, you know what? You're going a little bit too far right there. And if you do any further, I'm gonna be right in getting angry. And you're just hoping someone would go further, a little bit further. Ah, see, now I've got you. Because you did wrong, and now I got a right to beat on you. And so you got all that anger out of you. Amen? But it's endless. Did you know that it's endless? The more sin you express, the more sin that you express, the more sin that you express. And you think, I'll get this all out of me. You never will. Because it's you. There's no end to your filthiness and your perversion and your capacity for hypocrisy and lying and cheating and so on. How many are excited about that? I am. To me, that's very freeing. Thank God, because I was thinking, you know, try to be good like some of you people. And I had an idea that maybe I could be better. How many know that you cannot be better? You're already as good as it's going to get. A liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. So how many know you're all liars? You're wicked. You're nasty. You're filthy. You're hypocritical, you know, period. Just relax. 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 That's what the law does for you. The law says be perfect, and you have to say I'm not. As good as I am, I'm not perfect. Well, You're not only not perfect, you're nothing. You're nothing. You're absolutely nothing. And God owes you nothing to let you in heaven. You can't get in by your good works or by your brilliance. How many aren't good, but at least you're smart? You aren't good, but you're smart. Well, that won't help you either because you're dumb. Man, when he's real, real smart, the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of man. When you're as smart as you can be, you're really nothing. And there comes a point in your life when you go something like this. Geez, I don't think I know anything. You're right. You got it. Unfortunately, most of you repent of that quickly and decide now that you figured out that you were no good, you really are good for figuring out that you were no good. And so we are clever people. Are we not clever? We're clever people. Now, the reason why God wants you to be a zero is so he can just give it to you as a free gift. The whole reason that Jesus came, Peter figured this out. He figured out who he was. Is you're not here to make us be good. You're here to be good because we aren't. And you want to forgive us. And then you want to transform us. And you want to get all the glory so you can give it to us. He only wants all the glory so he can just give it to you. As soon as he gets all the glory, then he gives it to us. As soon as you don't deserve it, then he gives it to you. Because he wants to make sure it's clear to you, you didn't earn it, it's a gift. I didn't have to do this, I wanted to. I didn't have to let you in the kingdom, it's my pleasure to give you the kingdom. But you have to not deserve it so that you really appreciate when you get inside that you didn't deserve it. How many know you don't deserve mercy? You don't deserve to be forgiven. You deserve to be dead. The wages of sin? Death. Sin is just missing it. Yeah, you hit the rock twice, you're finished. But God knows that all have sinned and all have sinned. How many know that all includes you? All have sinned and fallen short. Just short, okay? So here, there's the Grand Canyon. I'm going to jump over the Grand Canyon. Now, I got to really make a good run on this one. Whoa. Because I got to get all the way over. Whoa. Almost made it. But nobody's ever made it because perfection is a little hard. And even though I'm a pastor, I should have made it. Okay, I'll try it again. No, it doesn't matter. You can try it 100,000 times. You can't make what God has said is be like Jesus. I can't be like Jesus because he's perfect. And by the way, even if you could jump a little further than you did last time, Jesus has already gone to heaven for you, and it's already paid, and you can't add anything to it. It's a prepaid deal. So, well, I'd like to add a little bit to what Jesus did. You can't. It's perfect. You can't add perfect to perfect. It's already perfect. So he doesn't want any more. Like, well, I'm gonna appreciate him. He doesn't want that. Well, I'm going to help out. I'm going to do a few good things. He doesn't want that. Jesus was already perfect. He already died for you, and you're covered. All you got to do is take it. I wanted to show I was a little bit appreciative of that. No, you're not appreciative of that at all. All we have to do is wait around 3 or 4 minutes and we'll find out how appreciative you are. How many know that you are incapable? I mean, you don't have the capacity. You don't have the stuff because you have to be born from above. You have to be born of God. And even after you're a Christian and you're born of God, you still are not perfect. Well, you are spiritually, but you're not mentally. And you're not emotionally. And you're not, you know, in terms of your knowledge, you don't know everything. And your behavior is still unstable. And people around you know that. Do y'all see that? So even though I'm born again and I'm perfect that way, I'm not perfect in all ways, spirit, soul, and body. I'm only spiritually perfect because I believed in Jesus. And that's just declared to me, but the truth is, he hasn't even changed me yet. And you can't be changed by anything you think or say or do. You can't figure it out. So I wonder how that works. I think I'll try to figure it out. You can't. It doesn't even make sense. Why would Jesus forgive a sinner? I thought he was holy. Why would he love somebody that's not holy? Why would he love somebody that mucked up? Why would he love somebody that's a loser? Why would he love somebody second best? Why? He doesn't have to. He just wants to. He just wants to. He wants to pay the price. And he wants to make sure that you know that you didn't do anything to get in. You didn't do anything to please him. You never did. So even though his law is, all right, do my law, please me. And nobody ever did. Every parent experiences this. By the way, every parent in the world experiences the same thing God experiences. You bring the child into the world, you feed him, you clothe him, you teach him, and you train him, and they sin. Every child in the world, every child in the world that's ever come into the world always sins. Okay, you get to bed right now.
I don't want to.
That's right there. All right, you go to hell. Because that right there, that child has just sinned against you and is not all appreciative of that. I birthed you. I brought you into the world and I fed you. Where do you think all that food came from? Me. So little kids are just like that. No. I love that when little kids do that. No. Are you going to do what I say or not? No. And they all have to do that because they're establishing their independence. They're, you know, that they're a person. I don't just do what you say, I do what I want. Now don't you touch that cookie right there. And they always do. A little kid is just going to go over and do it. Amen? All right, now, let's read what Jesus says about these two different ways. One is the true way and one is the false way. Religion won't get you there. And Simon Peter answered and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, God the Father who made heaven and earth came down and he didn't reveal anything to any of you all, just to Peter. Just to Peter, personal. Person to person, heaven to earth. Now, for that to happen, Peter had to be adopted by God personally by that revelation. In other words, Peter was no longer Peter Bar-Jonah. He was no longer flesh man Peter. He was now Son of God Peter, just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. Peter got a personal revelation of who Jesus was because he was just like unto him. Like, as you are loved by the Father, me too. And so the Father gave him a revelation, and as soon as that revelation came, Peter blurped it out of his mouth. "I know who you are. You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You know, your father didn't reveal that to you. You didn't figure that out. Men didn't show you that. My Father in heaven, the one that's my Father, he is also your Father. He just revealed that to you. You've been adopted by him. You and I are one." Did you see that? Peter right there was like blown away. And of course, he said something stupid right after that to prove that he wasn't the rock, like the Catholics say. Peter's not the rock. Now watch this. Then Jesus says these words. And again, you can't get this into English, but I'm going to spell it out for you in the Greek. "And I also say," now the Father revealed to him who Christ was. So he now has the identity of Jesus. "This is you. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are not the law guy, because no one was perfect under the law. You are the mercy guy, the Savior. And so therefore, since you're this guy over here, I know who you are. You came to forgive sin. You didn't come to make me not sin. You come to forgive my sin, even though I still have it. You just forgave it. And now, if I believe on you, and I become one of your sons, you'll change me from glory to glory until I become like unto you. But first of all, I just need to be tied to you, the rock. This is not my foundation, my rock. This is sand. This is rock. So here, I'm going to build my religion, not on law and command, but on promise. I'm going to build it here. You love me. I believe that. That's my foundation. So Jesus is the rock. Moses is not the rock. Elijah is not the rock. And Peter is not the rock. But here's what he says. "And I also say to you," I'm going to say something to you. My Father just said something. Now I'm going to say something. Because you're with me. "Thou art Peter." Now Peter translated as rock. Peter translated as rock. Now, but I'm going to write this Greek word, which you don't know Greek, but I'm going to teach it to you. P-E-T-R-O-S. Petros. So Petros means It means rock, but this is the kind of rock it means. You are a little stone. One that you could carry in your hand. It might be a pebble or it could be a boulder, but it's something that a man could carry. You are Peter. That's who you are. You know who I am? Now I'm going to tell you who you are. You are, you're no longer Simon Barjona. You are Peter, a little pebble. And I'm going to take you, Peter, you little pebble, and I'm going to put you onto me, this big rock. Now, this word is not Petros, but Petra. P-E-T-R-O. Nope. Change it. A. Alpha. All right? Petra. Now, Petra is also rock. Another word for rock. That rock is a little one. This one is a massive cliff, a gigantic rock that is so big it's unmovable. I know you can't read this, but I can read it. So now you are a little stone, and I'm not going to build my church on a little stone. I'm going to build you, the little stone, on me, the big, massive rock stone, Petra. So Jesus is the rock of our salvation. So the Catholics have it absolutely, absolutely, totally wrong. I'm not picking on them. I'm just showing you something, that they're wrong. The Greek, then, is contrasting little stone, Peter, with big stone, Jesus. So Peter's confession from the Father, because unless the Father draws you, you can't even come to Jesus. But the Father drew him, gave him a revelation, because Peter was his son now, and he personally revealed to Peter, personally, one-on-one, this is who Jesus is. He's the rock. And Jesus said, upon this rock. And the rock that he pointed to was Petra, not Petras. You are Little Rock, but I am, oh, that's interesting, Little Rock, Arkansas. I wonder if there's anybody from Little Rock, Arkansas. Little Rock means a small stone that's carryable, about very human size. But the big rock, which is so big that no man can even move it, you can't overthrow it. And so he says this, you are Peter, a little stone, but I'm going to build my church, my house, my kingdom on a big rock. A Petra, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, the big rock is not him, Peter. The big rock is Jesus, the stone, the rock that can't be moved, the one that God laid in Zion. I laid in Zion a stone, a precious stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth, not over here, over here. He that believeth, he shall not be afraid. He shall not be moved. He shall in no wise be moved. You realize the gates of hell cannot prevail against number two, but it can always prevail against number one. Here's the system of this world. It's a pyramid. It's an unfinished pyramid. It's got an eye at the top. This is the thing on your dollar bill and so on. This pyramid is man-made, totally whatever man can do. It's not what God did. God never made one of these things. And that's why they're never finished, by the way. You can never finish a pyramid. Never finished. They're never finished. Because in this world, what man wants to do is never perfect. It's always imperfect. And so they call this God up here, but what they really mean is it's them. It's really just them. That eye of God is really them. It's just man. Now, this gates of hell can prevail against any religion, any law system in the world. It belongs to them. They are able, and this religion cannot overthrow this system, but this system can conquer this system totally. And so, all you have here is sin and death. That's all you have, sin and death. That's as high as you can get. Now, over here, the gates of hell cannot prevail against something that's holy, because God did it, and it's spiritual, because God did it. It is of God and eternal. So over here, the church that Jesus built, he calls this my church. He calls this church in the wilderness, the one that Moses did, not my church. This is not my church because it's not perfect. It's man-made, and the gates of hell can prevail against it. But this one, nobody can prevail against. Now, the Greek word is ischuo. Ischuo, it means strong. And when you add in front of it, kata. Kata ischuo. Okay, so kata ischuo means this kingdom over here cannot prevail. In other words, it cannot war against and win this church. But this church, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, worship a rock, a stick, a snake, it doesn't make any difference, whatever it is, this completely can make common cause with, can join itself together like a beast and a whore. Beast, whore, always related because it's not of God. So this is all earth. This is all man-made, all imperfect. Only this church, only this rock, only this foundation, only this big rock. This is the only foundation for a true religion. So what he's saying is, Peter, look, you are not the rock. The opposite of what the Catholics say. You are not the rock that I'm going to build my church on. I'm not building it on any pope. I'm not building it on any man. I'm not building it on any good person. I'm building this on myself, on my son. My son, that's the one I'm going to build it on. So Peter got a revelation. I know who you are. You're not a man. You are the Messiah who is the Son of the living God. My foundation, my rock. And Jesus said, yes, you're Peter, a little stone, but I am the rock of your salvation. I'm the one in the Old Testament that followed the people around. I'm the one that was in the garden. I've been there before the world was created. I can never be moved. I can never be dislodged. You can't pull it out because no man can move this stone. So Jesus is the stone. They killed him. And they just jumped up again. Hi. Here I am. You can't kill me twice. Once you kill him, you can't re-kill him. You just can't. You can go. A lot of times, you know, when somebody wants to shoot somebody, they shoot him, you know, once, twice, three times, 50 times, 60 times. They want to make sure he's dead, 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 dead. But once he's dead, he's dead. But you get kind of carried away. I want to make sure he's dead. And they used to do this with heretics. Like they did this with, who was the guy? Morning Star of the Reformation. What was his name? Wycliffe. I knew, I was just checking you. They dug up his bones, you know, a long time later and decided, you know, we need to have burned him at the stake. And since we forgot to do it, let's dig him up and burn him now. So they dug him up and burned his bones. You know, we're going to really make him pay for this because he went away from the true church. Well, the Catholic Church was over here. It's a man-made type of deal, and that's a man-made stupid. That's stupid. I mean, that's not even natural to dig up a bone and burn that bone. Now, here's the question. Who do you say that Jesus is? You can't just say it intellectually. You can't just say it emotionally. You can't just say it because you want to. God the Father would have to reveal that to you personally, otherwise you're not part of his church. I'll say it again. If you are part of Jesus' church, it's not because you come to church. It's because the Father himself loves you personally, has given you a revelation which you publicly then declared, I know who you are. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. I am not the rock. He is the rock. What a powerful thing. Now, David's a little nervous because I'm going to conclude. He likes me to go on several minutes more. It's okay, Dave. I'm going to close. This will be my 14th close. Now, Jesus, in the next story, Jesus gets up on a mountain, a big rock, and Peter, James, and John are there with him. Peter's there, the same guy. And Peter sees Moses the guy from the Old Testament. He goes, oh my God, that Moses. He must have had a sign on him, maybe a name tag or something, because I don't know how he would notice that that was Moses. But he, and then Elijah, and the guy probably had fire coming out of his head or something. But I think that's Elijah, and that's Moses. I'm sure they had name tags. But at any rate, Peter recognized him. That's Moses and Elijah. And so he said, and this shows how brilliant Peter is, hey, we could build three booths. We could build, put up three tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Hey, we got something going for him. And all of a sudden, two of them disappeared. And only Jesus was left. Only Jesus was left. And the Father, same one that had spoken to Peter earlier, said, this is my son. Amen. This is my son. Those guys are not rocks. You're not equal to my son at all. They're law guys. Remember John the Baptist was a law guy? Greatest in the Old Testament is nothing in the kingdom. Anyone in the kingdom is greater than John. But he is the greatest in the Old Testament. The greatest man that ever lived, John the Baptist. What'd he do? Ate locusts? What'd the guy do? Run around the wilderness? What did he accomplish? Got his head chopped off? What'd that guy do? He introduced Jesus. The law pointed to the gospel, the good news, and said, that's the rock. Right there. He's the one. I must decrease. He must increase. So John introduced Jesus as the rock of our salvation, the one in whom we must believe. Even John wasn't even sure. Because the Old Testament, the law, can never know for sure who God is until he shows up. They know all about him, but they don't know him. So the law can tell you what to do, but it can't perfect you to do it. You need a personal revelation of Jesus. You need to have a personal, the Father himself. I mean, not Jesus, but the Father. Not the Holy Spirit, but the Father. Maybe the Father through the Spirit, but it has to show you exactly who Jesus is. And you fall in love. I'll tell you what, you won't sin after that. After that, you won't sin. Well, wait a minute. Now, that's going a little too far. What you won't do is you won't stay in the sin. Because you'll realize then, I'm not the rock. I'm just a hand stone. I'm just a small stone like Peter. I'm just Petras. I'm not Petra. Jesus is the rock. I hope you all have that revelation today or have had it in the past, because he is the only reason. If you build your life on him, you then will be perfected. And he's coming back for a glorious church, a church without spot. I will build my church. I won't build Moses' church. I won't build another church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Problem today, the gates of hell prevails against every church. That shows it's not God's church. That shows it's not God's church. Because the gates of hell cannot prevail. Now, we're not talking about sin. We're talking about sin ruling, reigning. When you sin, you confess. That's okay. But to sin and not confess, that's not okay. You have to admit it. I'm no good. I'm not the rock. I am not the rock. I'm a Petros, a little handheld. But Jesus, he's the rock. He's the only way I'm getting in. He's all my righteousness. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you. We just thank you that you have given us this truth. And we give you all the praise, and everyone said, amen.
Hallelujah.